To the readings. The epistle today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 6. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death, but now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is from St. Matthew chapter 7. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, my dear friends, we could speak about so many different things in today's gospel. It's a short gospel, full of a lot of wonderful sayings of Christ our Lord. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. You might think, oh, Father can speak about the false prophets of our world today, or the ravenous wolves that we have, and about the bad fruits of the Novus Ordo Church and all these things. But I wanted to draw your attention to the last sentence of the Gospel of today's Mass to remind you that we ourselves have to look into our own souls and not compare ourselves just with other people in the world. The world indeed is going to hell. Many, many souls are being lost every day. Thousands and thousands of people every day are being lost. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be saved. That doesn't mean somehow, oh, because in comparison I'm not as bad, that I'm going to go to heaven. No, my dear friends, our Lord says it today, that it's not just those who say, "Lord, Lord, you are my Lord," that we're going to go to heaven. We have to do the will of God. And so we often have, especially we as traditional Catholics, we often have the appearances of piety. We go to Mass, we go every Sunday, we don't miss Mass, we go to the sacraments frequently, we say our rosary. But does that mean we're going to be saved? And I want you to look into your own soul today and see if perhaps some of the defects are existing there. And these defects that I wanted to speak of are three in number. Despite the appearances of piety, we may have one of these defects. First of all, worldliness. Secondly, superficiality. Or thirdly, sentimentalism. Now let's first look at worldliness. So many traditional Catholics have made a compromise with the world. Their piety becomes a screen for their pleasures of the world. They think that, oh, because I say my rosary, that somehow all this worldliness isn't going to matter. And so what their piety has become is simply an insurance policy for death. They're saying, well, You know, when I stand before God, I'll be able to say I did all these things. I went to Mass, I said my rosary. But our life at the same time was full of careless reading, watching immoral shows on TV or in the movies, always putting ourselves into occasion of sin, dressing perhaps immodestly or acting immodestly. Maybe we were guilty of bad education of our children, not teaching them the faith. And we basically taught our children that you can serve God and mammon, which of course is against the gospel. Our Lord said you cannot serve both God and mammon. Are we guilty then of compromise with the world? Remember, the world is at enmity with Christ. It is against him. And we must not think just because of our devotions that we're going to be saved. We have to also root out worldliness. It's so sad when you go to a funeral and, you know, they talk about, oh, well, you know, he did go to the sacraments just last Sunday. You know, he's probably already in heaven. Well, maybe, but chances are, no, my dear friends, no way. Just because somebody goes to the sacraments doesn't mean somehow that their soul is fit for heaven. As long as we are worldly, all that has to be purged out of us first, and it will be purged in a long and painful purgatory. Well, the second defect in our piety is that of superficiality. And this is something that many children are guilty of, that their prayer life, their devotions are not from their heart. It's just words. It doesn't mean anything to them. And many adults, too, are guilty of this when they say their prayers, but they never take time to listen to God. They pray the rosary, let's say, but they don't really spend any time in meditation. And I know you're meditating when you're saying the rosary, but because we don't spend any time just in silent prayer, we never hear what God actually wants of us. And you know why we do this? We do this out of fear. That is, we're afraid of what God might ask of us. And so we don't want to listen to him. We're afraid that God might ask something more of us than we're doing. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to have to give up those things. And so because out of fear of listening to the Lord, our devotions become superficial. And just surface devotion. We praise the Lord with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. And then finally, another defect of our piety is sentimentalism. Sentimentality can be a good thing. It can help us. But what I'm referring to here is when we confuse true devotion with our feelings. And many people do this. Many people are very pious when they have good feelings. Everything's going well. And so they pray and they're like, oh, it's so wonderful being in the church or saying my rosary. I feel so close to the Blessed Mother. And yet these people, because their devotion is sentimental, it's inconstant. And one day they're very fervent, and then the next day they're not at all, because they go with their emotions, with their feelings. This must be very displeasing to our Lord, because it shows that our piety isn't real. We're willing to be with Jesus when it's, you know, easy, when we're surrounded by good feelings. And it's like saying that I want to follow our Lord as long as it's not the rough road of the cross. We're willing to follow Jesus when he's on Mount Tabor at the Transfiguration, or when he's speaking to us at the Lake of Gennesaret, or when he's feeding us in the desert. But we're not willing to follow him when he says, take up your cross. So we have to check and examine ourselves on this. Are we confusing true devotion with our feelings? What is true piety? True piety, and you hear it in our Lord's words today. True piety consists in ridding ourselves of those things that are displeasing to God. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, he cuts down, and it is thrown into the fire. By their fruits, you will know them. So true piety consists in spiritual growth. And in order to grow, what does our Lord say? In another gospel, in St. John's Gospel, the beginning of chapter 15, Jesus speaks of how the vine must be purged in order to bring forth more fruit. It has to be cut away. And what this means, my dear friends, is that we have to do penance. We have to rid ourselves of certain things. The branch that bears no fruit, he will purge, he will cut away. And so sometimes our Lord will send us suffering because he loves us. And he's trying to purge us in order to make us ready for the kingdom of heaven. And so as we get older, suffering becomes more and more a part of our life. It's out of love, my dear friends. It's not because our Lord is punishing you necessarily. It's because he loves you. And he wants to rid you of your attachment to the things of this world. And if you don't want to suffer so much, then start doing penance. Start ridding yourself of your worldliness, of your sentimentality, of your superficiality. Start ridding yourself of it. And then our Lord won't have to send you so much suffering. But what we should do also, besides penance, and penance is absolutely essential. Our Lord even said, unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish. We have to do penance. But do you notice that human respect often holds us back from doing penance? We're worried about what other people might think of us. We say, nobody else does those things. And so we don't even do what we're supposed to do, such as the abstaining from meat on Friday or the fasting on fast days and the giving up of pleasures of the flesh, denying ourselves certain things. We want to go along with the world and be like everyone else. So we are like everyone else. We're on the road to perdition. We're not doing anything really that God wants of us, but we're somehow patting ourselves on the back because we went to Mass, we said some prayers, but really not doing what God wants from us in our life. My dear friends, you have to then reject human respect. You have to start doing penance, denying yourself, separating yourself more from this world. The world is going to hell, and we do not want to perish with it. And so let us root out from ourselves the dead branches, you might say, that are bearing no fruit in our life. The things we're doing in our life that are not bearing any fruit for the kingdom of God should be cut out. They should be rooted out and thrown away. And true piety should be growth. That is, we should be growing spiritually, and we can examine our conscience on this. Have I advanced in my spiritual life? Am I bearing fruit? By their fruits you will know them. And have I been bearing fruit over these last months, this last year? And if not, then start doing good works. Because the charity and the help and the good works you do in this world is a sign of your interior devotion to our Lord. You're not doing it for a worldly gain. You're doing it to please Christ. And that is a sign of growth, is when you are full of charity. St. Augustine said that the sign that our Lord is speaking of in today's gospel, he says, beware of false prophets who are come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And St. Augustine says in his sermon on this Sunday that they are the ones who are not clothed with charity. They do not have charity. And they just say certain things that sound good, but they're false prophets. They don't have the love of Christ truly in them. Well, let that not be the case with any of us. Let us all strive to gain a deeper love of our Lord. And we can gain that deeper love of our Lord by doing good works and by praying from our hearts. And what I mean by that is that you, when you say your prayers, it's coming from deep within you, the true desire to serve Him, to love Him, to honor Him. And you listen to what our Lord would have you to do. You're asking Him, "Dear Lord, what is it that you want of me?" And our Lord will direct you and guide you. He will. He'll teach you what you need to change. But you have to ask and you have to listen. So let us then examine our consciences Sunday to see whether or not we are just superficial Catholics. And let us begin to change, to purge out by penance the things that are wrong in our life, to advance in spirituality by doing good works and praying from our hearts. Of course, our Blessed Mother can help us in this. And so let us all ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us truly to love our Lord with all our hearts and in everything, as she did, to do the will of God. For it is not he who says, "Lord, Lord," that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who always does the will of the Father in heaven, he shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.